At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, a brand new episode here. Yes, I'm in a different layout here. I had to learn from Paris because we both were like, hey, you know what? You don't need old lights. Just record in the middle of nowhere. Do your thing. And but yeah, I'm here with the whole crew. Let's go with Paris. Paris, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You ready for Gamescom next week?
I'm ready for Gamescom.
You got to give me some advice because, man, it's my
don't
first time.
Don't tell him anything. Don't tell him it needs to experience it raw.
I will say this, and again, it, ooh, poor us. I don't like the hotel that we're at.
Upgrade.
I don't care.
I know you don't care. No, look, my boozy ass got used to being at the hotel. I walked 2 feet out, the train's right there, and I got at Gamescom. Now we actually got to walk a distance to get to the train. I'm just being lazy.
All right, and also we have here Pete. What's up, Pete?
Welcome back, man. How are you? Thank you.
Good, man. Good. How's everything with you, man?
It's hot.
Still really hot over there?
Well, so it's been hot up until yesterday, and it's been slowly creeping back down. Freedom numbers, it's like 91, 92. But yeah, last week and the week prior was really, really bad. Really, really bad. But yeah, it's supposed to rain today. And then
yeah, Cologne actually is supposed to have pretty decent weather by the time we're there. So I think it is starting to cool off.
Is it like California? At night gets cool or?
Yeah. Bring a sweater or like a light jacket because it'll come in handy in the evenings when it drops down to high 70s, maybe low 70s.
Okay. But yeah, everyone, we're not going to have a live show next week because we're going to be traveling to Germany for Gamescom, but my schedule is looking crazy. I don't know about you, Paris, but my calendar is looking like I have no breaks during the whole week. No week. But I know we're going to Opening It Up Live. That's going to be also my first time going over there. And Wednesday is the media day, right, Paris? And then Thursday, Friday is the public?
Yes. And through the weekend. But we'll obviously be done by Friday, yeah.
Yeah. So I should be worried about Thursday more than Friday because Friday, I probably will get used to the layout and the crowd and everything, right? I don't know.
Yeah, like I told you before, Gamescom talk, folks. Wednesday is the day to essentially go scout everything out because it's only the media that's there. So you can openly go to all the halls. You can see all the public booths, everything. So you get a good idea of where everything is. I highly suggest going down into the business center and kind of mapping out where everything is. Because like you said, with no breaks, you're going to be going from appointment to appointment. And it might be on one end of the business center. You got to go to the other, like all that stuff, right? So definitely do that. And like I said, Wednesday is going to be your day to see the public booths because you are not seeing any of them on Thursday or Friday. It is just going to be so many people that are going to be there. And if I remember correctly, they're at max capacity this year at Gamescom as far as booths go, whereas they were not last year and it was chaos last year. So buckle up. That's all I'm saying. Mm. It's you're going to think E3. Remember when the public was in E3?
Yes.
Times four. I'm being serious. Times four. Times Absolutely. Four. Times four.
Right, high in mid 70s, low in the 50s, and partial chance of rain.
Yo, why Pete's voice just went up?
I know. Changed again. Yeah.
I don't know.
It was fine earlier. It was perfect. And then it just went crazy up. Yeah, I don't have the tools to throw it down, but it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I don't know. Now I can hear everything. What the heck?
What the hell?
I didn't do anything.
See, now it went back to normal. It like changes out. See, I can hear his voice so loud, right, Paris? What the heck? And I can hear his breathing.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's weird because it just automatically just the volume went.
Yeah, it's just out of nowhere.
Yeah. P is
now,
fine for you.
Now it's silence. It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah, now it's silence.
Good. Is that better?
A lot
yeah,
better.
Yeah, it's better.
Whatever you did, stay there. Don't touch nothing. Please.
Don't fucking touch it. All right. All right, I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So it's max capacity, man. That sounds kind of crazy. But here's the thing, like I think as of right now, all my appointments, the majority is like around the business area. Center. So I might have a couple outside of that, but it's not as bad. You know what I'm saying?
But the business center is technically two different halls, though.
What the heck is this?
Two.
What the heck was that?
Hook 'em horns.
It's all good. Yeah, man. We'll see. I'm excited. I have a couple of things booked that I'm very excited about, and hopefully I could talk about more about that after I'm allowed to talk about it on the show. So we'll see. Anything else about Gamescom Paris?
Like I said, I think you're going to have an amazing time. I'm very excited for you to be able to go for the first time and just see it. Cologne is such a beautiful city, which, again, poor me, I'm complaining again, but I honestly wish our hotel was on, we're on the same side of the river as the convention center, whereas every other time I've gone, I've been on the other side of the river, which is the main part of Cologne where the cathedral is and all that. I kind of wish we were staying on that side, because then you get to kind of see more of the city as you're coming into the convention center, all that stuff. But obviously we'll find time to go over there and do all this stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you walked around. Yeah, no choice. You had to walk around when you were there. Right?
But that's my point, because the hotel was on the same side as the main part of the city with the cathedral.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're going to have to take the train, go back across, and then, you know, all that stuff. So.
All right.
You'll see. But we'll see. Who, yeah.
Mm. We'll see who's going to be there. I heard there's not that many people from the U.S. there. So that's interesting. Let's see.
Yeah. We'll see.
Wow. Pete. What the heck? What was that about?
I will say my excitement, I could publicly say this, my excitement is for one game. It is the first appointment that I have when I'm there. And that's The Witcher 3 Songs of the Past. I cannot freaking wait. I cannot wait. I'm going to be grinning from ear to ear when I go to that appointment, man.
I can imagine.
All right. So it looks like I actually went to Bethesda and got to see the new Elder Scrolls while she was there. I wonder why now, right before Gamescom, I'm not saying they're going to announce it and show it over there or whatever. You know, I'm not saying that, but why now? Why was like the right time to briefly just, I don't know, or tweet about, oh, I got to see this game?
Well, I can tell you exactly why.
Why?
Because they want Bethesda to be more open about the stuff that they're working on and the progress that's being made. That is crystal clear since she's taken over leadership, because we obviously saw Bethesda's unprecedented roadmap. We've never seen Bethesda do something like that before. Todd Howard responding to people on Reddit. Look, took Jason Schreier off the blacklist and did an interview with Jason Schreier. They're definitely going to be communicating. Yeah, That's
huge.
That's surprising. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I think, obviously, visiting Bethesda, getting updates on all that. So while she was there, she got to obviously see a playable build of The Elder Scrolls 6. So it keeps us in the loop. Now, I ask you this question. Actually, I ask Pete this question. When do you think Elder Scrolls 6 is coming out?
2 years.
Yeah. What about you,
2 years, Dana? At least.
I can see 2 years after the launch of Project Helix. So like similar to, it reminds me kind of like when the 360 came out a couple months after, like the following year, it was Oblivion, like around spring. So I can see spring of 2028.
Yeah, I think best at best 2028, like the hopium 2028. I think more realistically 2029. In my opinion, and I'll give you a reason why. So we know the main Bethesda team has been working on what since, you know, late 2018, 2019, up until recently. So Starfield. So I'm pretty sure it's all hands on deck now for Elder Scrolls 6, but can we realistically think that they're going to have Elder Scrolls 6 as big and as massive and as important of a game as that is for Xbox in a year and a half to come out with it? Because some people have been saying, oh, 2027. I don't think that at all. I think, look, it would be amazing if it comes in 2028, like you said, but I think realistically, I would rather keep my expectations to like 2029. And the other reason is, which I probably should have been sitting in it. As you know, I have some experience with a big open world game that was very anticipated back in 2020. And we saw how that launched. And I don't think Bethesda and Xbox are going to want to repeat that past history. So they're going to make sure that thing is QA'd to death. Bug, because you don't want to lead it with technical issues, buggy. To the point, it's probably cross-gen. So it's going to be on Series X, S, and Helix. So you got to make sure it's running great on the S. Like all those factors come into it. I just don't see them trying to rush it out. They're going to wait and make sure that it's done right. So I'm going to still stick with 2029, but I could see 2028, you know, but we'll see. But I'm happy to hearing more about Bethesda projects. So I understand Todd Howard's reasonings in the past and all that, but I just think we're in a different era right now in the current state of the industry and everything. It's good to hear about where we are with these games. Yes, I can't wait for Elder Scrolls 6. I want more Fallout, all that stuff. I want Wolfenstein. Like, there's so many Bethesda projects that I want to hear more about. So hopefully we do. You know, Blade obviously is another one. So yeah, we'll see. But I'm gonna stick with 2029. Yeah, I just, why rush Elder Scrolls 6? At this point, because to me, I'll say this and then I know you go. Because in my opinion, is it Grand Theft Auto 6 level? No, but it's about as close as you can freaking get. It is a game that is a system seller, right? It is a once in a decade type of event game. So I do not see them trying to rush it out of the door. You want to make sure you get it right, you know?
Yeah, I think I think the biggest problem for it is following Skyrim. The success of that game alone is going to make it... They raised the bar with that, and for them to try to jump over that is going to be the biggest thing. The other question for me, and it's a big wild card moving into the launch of whatever this is going to be, how much has Bethesda changed based off of Starfield and everything else? What have they learned, and will they be able to pivot in today's gaming ecosystem? Right.
And it's still using Creation Engine, all that. There's a lot of factors in it.
This was announced back in 2017? 16?
18.
It was 18. Man, 10 years, bro. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. Almost 10 years. If it's
Starfield. Starfield, I shouldn't say the problem, but that's why it's taken so long. The main team pivoted to Starfield. So they haven't been working on Elder Scrolls 6 because they were focused on Starfield. Now the focus is back on Elder Scrolls 6. So it really just comes down to how much pre-production work has already been done and how quickly can they get it up to spec for release. I would just say, because I mean, they even just did the Starfield DLC. Again, let's say they've been all hands on deck with Elder Scrolls 6 since 2024. Let's just say that.
Okay.
2027 is 3 years. Do you really think in 3 years a game that big of that scope you can have ready to go? I don't see it. So like I said, 2028, 2029 just seems way more realistic to me.
There was something that Asha said in that article talking about how she was praising the scale and grandeur of and whatnot. And that's something that gives me a reason to pause. Because after Starfield, I think Bethesda is starting to understand that just because it's bigger doesn't mean it's better, right? But the fact that she highlighted that is it could be good and it could be a bad thing, right? And Bethesda is usually really good at creating worlds and player freedom, but it's been really inconsistent when you think about it, when they talk about delivering the full narrative of a game. Elder Scrolls 6 was dramatically better and while still residing within that Bethesda sandbox. But again, I go back to the question I asked, is that what players want in 2027 and beyond? I say that it's with a few months left, but whatever. By the time the game comes out, it's going to be a totally different, you know, environment and how people play.
I mean, as far as we know, Grand Theft Auto 6 is still following that formula. And
there's in the sandbox.
A clear you know, there's a clear demand for that game. We see people spending $100 a pop play that game. So I still think I think Elder Scrolls 6 would still have that demand. I do.
And they're saying that there's more people that pre-order the $100 edition of Grand Theft Auto than the regular standard edition. So I don't know. So people are really excited about those type of games, Pete. You know, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
We'll see.
You know?
We'll
and
see.
Plus people are used to seeing a game like Elder Scrolls to be that type of big open world game. If they keep it small or like similar to like Starfield, I think that would be a mistake, in my opinion. Keep it like it used to be back in the days, you know? So
you said, have they learned, right? And that's the biggest question.
Mm-hmm. But by the way, speaking about Grand Theft Auto, and look, I know we talked about this online and everything. I really want to talk to you guys about this, about the announcement that they're going to have like an extended look of the game on Netflix. And then a couple hours later, it'll be on YouTube. Right. So the rumor is it looks like it might be multiple episodes. And I see why Netflix is doing that. You know, they're trying to get those numbers high for their service. But I don't know why. What was the point of people getting mad online about this thing? Like, I'm like, look, bro, it's only a couple hours and they'll be on YouTube. You don't have to subscribe, you know. And I also compare to, and I think I talked to Paris about this a couple of weeks ago. It reminds me of Netflix signing deals with like YouTubers to be on the service. So yes, their content is still available on YouTube, but it's also on Netflix, you know? So I don't see anything wrong with this, but I would love to hear your thoughts about this announcement, having this on Netflix for the first time. Let's go with Paris, because Paris is dying. He's smiling.
No, go with Pete.
I'll talk. Look,
yeah, go for it.
Nobody needs to mention it, right? But GTA 6 is in a rare position, unlike 99% of the gaming titles out or coming out, right? Most publishers are spending hundreds of millions of dollars of making the game, making people aware that the game exists. But in this case, Rockstar is the exact opposite. Everybody knows about GTA 6. People are scheduling vacations around it, or scheduling their life and time around the launch of this game. Hell, we just found, my wife just found out that a good friend of ours, who was supposed to be in Milan that weekend, he canceled because of GTA 6.
He's not that really?
Yeah, yeah. And he pissed off my wife. So, and everybody knows, look, November 19th, I mean, like, I'll play for one day and then I'm off to Milan for the weekend, then I'm coming back. But pre-orders have been open since June. 200 million, I don't know, I can't remember the number, but it's massive. Take a step back. GTA 5 surpassed 200 million units sold. And it's still to this day, thanks to GTA Online, generating money hand over fist. So I don't think Rockstar is necessarily buying reach as most publishers or game developers normally would do. It's buying attention. And that's the big, huge thing, right? And having that 6-hour window of exclusivity, dude, that just locks people in for those 6 hours. All eyes are on there. If it was like a short moment, like if it was, let me take a step back on that one. If it was like a 24 hours or 3 days or a whole week of exclusivity, totally different story. Then yeah, they're restricting it. But I think we look at this as an event, not as a.
Yeah. And one thing I didn't say online, Pete, I mentioned that this is for an audience, not our crowd. It's an audience where maybe they know about it, maybe they don't. They typically don't buy games like that, you know, or they probably don't know when the game is coming out. Like, who knows? So, like, there's an audience like that. They don't keep up with the news, right? So that's for them. And also, and it makes sense, it looks like they're trying to make this as like a global event. Yes.
Yeah, it's an event. They could have this. It's not an announcement trailer that disappears in 24 hours or whatever off of YouTube.
Yeah. But here's the thing, and a lot of young folks will remember this, but back in the days, you know, magazines, you had to buy a magazine when they had an exclusive there, right? Either monthly or just one-time payment, or you could subscribe like through the whole year. So you have to pay for that magazine, right? So similar to for entertainment magazines and so on, you know, newspapers and so on. We're in a different time, so I get why they're doing it. But the majority, look, there's a lot of people that are mad that it's going to be on Netflix, but they're going to be the first ones watching this when it comes out that day. Like, I know that. Come on. It's like, and you're going to see the number of people that are going to be watching this when it comes out. It's going to be pretty high. Now, I'm wondering how much Rockstar got paid from Netflix for this, because I know it's a lot of money, because Netflix knows this will be a huge opportunity to get new subscribers for them. But also Rockstar, like, hey, we should get some money out of this. So, like, I feel like both companies got something out of it, you know? So,
I mean, Netflix has been dying for gaming relevance for 10 plus years now. I remember going to Netflix events at E3 when I was still in the States. And it was like, you could see how much they needed to get into it. And I think this finally gives them that relevance in the industry.
Yeah, I think so too. Paris, you want to say anything about it or no? You...
I got nothing.
Yeah. I think it was just smart marketing, in my opinion. Like, I think this was just genius, you know. Now, am I going to watch it that day? No, because we're going to be at Gamescom. I'll probably watch it when it's available on YouTube a couple hours later. But I think this is a big deal, you know.
Here's what I'll say. I get everything that you said, and I agree. You know, I got nothing to say. You know, I got nothing to say. You know, I try to say something. You poo-poo it before I even talk. No,
go ahead.
I get the vast majority of what you're saying. And as I said, when this first got announced, and we've obviously got more context since, I just worry about the precedent that it could potentially set. Can Rockstar and Grand Theft Auto get away with this? Of course they are. They're in a complete league of their own when it comes to this. So it sounds like this will make sense to be on something like Netflix, because it's going to be episodic and it's going to be presented in a way that it signals to how you're going to be able to go beyond just the game when you, as far as engaging with Grand Theft Auto. So I get all that. I worry about another publisher seeing this and thinking their game can do the same thing, and instead of putting it behind a subscription paywall for 6 hours, they try to do it for a week or something, right? Or whatever. Like I said, we don't know until the thing actually comes out, and we'll see. So maybe I'm over exaggerating it, maybe I'm, you know, Chicken Little, the sky's falling, but we'll see when it comes out.
Can I ask a question?
No, because you're going to let me finish what I got to say.
No, because I have something. I don't agree with you, but go ahead.
Jeez. Oh, my God. He won't even let me finish what I'm trying to say. See, 20 years. I've been dealing with this for 20 years. He can't even let me get a complete thought out. He got to interrupt. This is what Danny Pena does. All I was going to say was, and then you can ask all the questions you want, is the one thing that I 100% don't like about this is it's happening during Gamescom. That I don't like. Because I think, again, my opinion, Grand Theft Auto is its own thing. You can put that out anytime you want. Why are you taking the spotlight away from other games that are going to be debuting and being seen during that week? That's my only thing.
Thanks for saying.
Because when that debut, because think about it, it's going to be like 9 o'clock at night on the 27th when this comes out on Netflix for us. We're obviously all going to be in Germany watching it. And then what are all the headlines going to be the next day? It's not going to be about Songs of the Past, Gears of War, or, excuse me, any other games that are going to be shown during Gamescom. It's going to be about Grand Theft Auto 6. You couldn't wait till the week after to do this? Why are you doing it during Gamescom? That's my only thing.
But that's just me. Because of that, though.
Now answer all your questions.
Okay.
Games.
Number.
Okay. Run
okay. Right over. I will say this. Paris, if other companies manage to do this, let's just say, how the hell that affects you? You're still going to buy the game. Who cares if it's on Netflix or what? How that affects you? I'm serious. For the record,
yeah. Danny Pena said this, a.k.a. Godfrey, not Paris Lilly, a.k.a. Vicious696. Leave me no mean comments, because I am not agreeing with this.
Hey, look, I'm being real. Like, if you already pre-order the game and the game comes out in November and they have this thing on Netflix, and you're still getting the game in November, how this affect you? You're still getting the game in November. You could still wait 6 hours later and watch it on YouTube, or not watch it at all and still play the game in November. I still don't get how this affects people. Why are they getting mad? And how that affects you, Paris?
Pete,
please answer that question.
Pete.
No, P is not helping you. You answer that question.
He ran right over me. He talked right over me. He said, it doesn't matter. Don't even ask me for help. I mean, he's...
No, I want to know. No. How this affects you?
What?
Yeah, I'll tell you what this reminds me of. This reminds me of in the 90s when people were like, hip hop is so commercial and this and this and that. But you still listen to the music, like how that affects you. If you don't like something, don't buy it, don't subscribe, move on. And look, and I'm going to edit this on the podcast, but bitch complaining online about something so, like, it doesn't affect me. Like, I'm going to go to the Gamescom, even if I was here, I could watch it or not watch it. I could watch it somewhere else. You know, like, I don't have to subscribe. I'm still going to buy the game. You know, it's not, nothing is changing. So I don't know why people are getting all angry about it. You know, I feel a lot of people just don't like change. They don't like change. But go ahead, Paris. Go ahead.
Pete, did he listen to anything I said?
I know you agree, but you also said some comments that I just don't agree. I don't agree, but that's why I have to say those things.
Pete, did he listen to anything I said?
No.
He's ranting.
He is ranting on something I literally said.
Paris.
Rockstar. Oh, my God.
But you said it. 20 years. You said you don't like it. You said you don't like it.
What did I say?
But I get it. You say you get it.
What?
Shit for 20 years. I just want people to understand this. 20 years I've been dealing with Danny Pena. Danny, I said Rockstar can get away with this. My worry is someone else trying to do this and stretching the boundaries of an exclusivity window and a paywall. That's what I'm saying.
Who cares? If they do, who cares?
I care.
How that affects you.
You want to know how it affects me?
Please tell me.
If Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ronin is exclusive to Paramount Plus for a week, mm-hmm. and I got to subscribe to Paramount Plus to be able to watch it in the first week, that would affect me.
How?
Harris, you could wait for a week. You don't have the patience?
No, absolutely not. That's BS.
Bro,
no.
Look, let's be real. People are going to clip it and put it online. Like, let's be real. Within minutes.
Shouldn't have to do that. Shouldn't have to do that.
But it's going to happen. But here's the thing. Like, I could see Kingdom Hearts on Disney Plus, Kingdom Hearts 4, let's just say, watch it there, the extended look or whatever. You know, like, you still buying the game. What is the reason to get mad? That's their game. That's their product. They could do whatever they want. Look, do I agree 100%? No, but it's like, I have a choice. I could either support it or not support it and move on. I'm still going to play the game. That's my point I'm trying to say. Go. I'm waiting.
His name is Danny Pena, a.k.a. Godfrey. Just your mean comments leave me out of it. That's all I'm saying. Let him. He said it. I did.
And this is a great point. Rhea wrote this. Movie preview used to be paywalled in front of the theater ticket.
And also available on YouTube.
So you have a choice.
And this is why y'all are married. Y'all deserve each other. Y'all, but just like, just
because
like,
you know,
bringing
Paris,
the movie
look,
theaters I'm, in there. That is not the same yeah. thing.
Yes, it is the same thing. And also, if you buy a magazine and it had an exclusive and other companies did the same thing too, it's the same shit. Paris, it's the same thing.
You know
it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Because here's the thing. I feel, look, I'm all about growing the industry. I want the industry to grow, more jobs, more, you know, like more opportunities. Like, you have to think outside of the box. You can't do the same formula that we've been doing for decades. It's good to do changes, man. And if you do changes and it works and it benefits you, it's going to help other studios. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I see it.
But hold on, Danny. That's not possible because not every game is GTA 6.
I'm not saying that.
But what I'm saying is
it's okay for other companies to do it too. Like, I don't see an issue with that. Like, okay, yeah, GTA is GTA. It's a totally different beast. But I'm saying, like, I don't know, let's say it's a Halo game or, I don't know, Kingdom Hearts or whatever, something different, or even an independent game, let's just say. Like, if that happens, it's okay too. Like, I don't see an issue with that. I don't know. Like, I feel like people are getting mad for the wrong reasons. There's other things to be mad about than a preview. Paris, five. Go ahead, Paris.
Hand hugs.
You notice, Pete, he's yet to address my point about Gamescom. He won't bring that up.
No,
he won't
stay on this. I am going to bring it up. You know what it is? Do you really think Rockstar gives a crap about Gamescom? Like, they don't care about Gamescom or Summer Game Fest or even the Game Awards. They don't attend those events. So it's not nothing new. I don't know what... They used to go to E3 back in the days, and they stopped going because it's not for Rockstar. So they rather have their own thing, their own moments. They don't care what other people are doing.
Which is exactly, bringing it back full circle, this is exactly why they're doing this thing with Netflix literally the day after Gamescom. Because Gamescom is going to generate a global gaming discussion, period. And then GTA 6 is going to come up and say, thanks for the hookup, and run out the door. And the next thing you know, September and October is nothing but a GTA 6 marketing runway. And it's just going to be printing money hand over fist for the next 2 months. Much more than they're already doing. I mean, look at that. They've got the $100 edition outselling the regular standard edition. It's ridiculous. All this is just addressing the people that are on the fence about whether they need to buy or should they buy GTA 6. This is what this is directed to.
Yeah, people are still going to buy that. I don't know. It's just a waste of time, in my opinion. But go ahead, Paris.
No, let's move on.
No, you went like this. So
No, go ahead. I didn't. Mind wipe it. I didn't do nothing. Let's move on.
Bing! The little Men in Black flashy thing. Click.
Yeah. All I'm saying is you could wait. You could subscribe or not watch it at all and keep it moving.
You have the choice. I'm going to say this. You can edit this out. You sound like such a dick when you say that.
Yeah, because it's the truth. It's the truth. Like, there was magazines that had exclusives back then. I didn't buy it because I'm like, either I was just broke, I just didn't, you know, and I just waited until another magazine got the opportunity. The one that was already subscribed to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have choices. Vote with your wallet. You don't have to like go online like, it's going to be on Netflix exclusive. Like, it's okay. I don't know. There's bigger things. That's what I'm trying to say. There's bigger things to be mad about than something like this. That it's a preview.
I'm not mad about any, you know, I'm not saying nothing. Let's move on to something else. Why are we still talking about this? Your wife said in the chat, you're trying to tear us apart with this topic.
No, I'm not.
Move on. Let's talk about something else.
All right, whatever. All right, so one last thing. This is a fun thing. Like, I saw a tweet from Video Game History, and let me see if I could post it here. Let me see if I could show you the tweet. Okay, this is an interesting tweet, and I am very curious to see what you guys have to say about this. Say something nice about Xbox One. Say something nice, Paris. Besides, you know, the price, I know but there was some good things about this console.
You notice what Danny does? He purposely brings up topics he knows I don't want to talk about to get me to talk about it.
No, this is good.
No, it's not.
This is good. This is positive.
No, it's not.
Paris, how this is bad? I don't get it. How this is bad?
You know what? Bring up Wolverine 2 while you're at it. Bring up something else I don't want to talk about.
I'm not bringing it up. You say you don't want to talk about it, and I didn't know that was going on. Look, I said this. I think this console has some great launch games, and there's some games that came out after that was dope. Sunset Overdrive. I'm serious. How this is bad?
To your wife in the chat.
Oh, I don't see anything bad about this. I don't.
That's not what TF I said.
Yo, look. I'm dead serious. Look, I remember years ago, Paris, you even mentioned this. You're like, yo, if you go back and watch, besides the price announcement, but you watch the actual games that they showed at one of the E3s about Xbox One, yo, that press conference wasn't that bad. It had like some decent games announcements there, you know? So, but Timefall, there was like a couple other games that they showed there, you know, like it wasn't bad.
You notice how Danny can't just say what he likes. He got to imprint on.
I did mention what I like.
he has it. Well, what you said.
No. I said what I like. I said Quantum Break, Sunset Overdrive, Killer Instinct. Even Rise was a decent. It was okay. It wasn't that bad. Like those, it was a decent lineup, a launch lineup. It was decent. So I said something good about the system. Paris doesn't want to say anything good about it, I guess. So we can move on.
I didn't even say that.
So say something. All right, Pete, say something good about Xbox. I know you didn't have one, but Was there anything that stood out to you about it?
I did.
Yeah.
I was, dude,
you
I loved the
Kinect. You had Xbox One?
I had an Xbox One and I loved the Kinect. Remember, dude, I used to play Destiny with Brian and all them. That's where, you know, the Salt King and everything else came out of.
And, I thought you were playing it on PlayStation 4 or Destiny.
Afterwards, PlayStation 2 I played on Destiny 2 I played on PlayStation. Sorry. I played, but look, this is the one good thing I will say, outside of the Kinect, still the best controller.
I like that controller a lot. That's a good controller. Really, really good. The Elite, I don't know. I liked it, but it always breaks on me after a while, every time I use it. So, but that controller, official. Anything else, Paris? Any other topics, Paris? Because, you know,
well,
I don't want to say anything. And then you say, why are you bringing this up? So go ahead, whatever you want.
Xbox Play Anywhere.
Was that launching Xbox One?
No, it didn't launch with Xbox One, but it was a part of Xbox One. 2016.
You're right.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
You know how much that pained him to say?
It didn't pain me to say it at all.
No. I'm saying I'm talking about Danny saying, you know what? You were right. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, you spot on about that. Yeah, 100%. He's like, damn, he's right.
He's like, damn, I can't argue that.
Here's what I liked about it. Yeah, for real. Xbox Play Anywhere, the backwards compatibility initiative that was started during Xbox One. Look, love it, hate it, say what you want about it. Game Pass started during Xbox One. I mean, to your point, being serious, if you go back and watch that 2013 press event, look, take the last 2 minutes out where Phil came out with a sad face and said $500.
Yeah.
The games that were shown during that 2013 showcase, straight heat. They had games. That was not the thing. I mean, think about it. Literally, The Witcher 3 debuted during that showcase. Metal Gear Solid 5 was in that showcase. Sunset Overdrive was in that showcase. They closed with Titanfall in that showcase. So it's like Rise, you know, the Rome game was in that showcase. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. If you go back and look, amazing showcase for sure. It was the price. It was Kinect, because Kinect was the reason it cost so much. That was the issue with the Xbox One. And when you really think about it, which ironically enough was the reason that we got the One X, is it was underpowered for what it should have been, especially in comparison to the PS4. I mean, I will argue to this day, both the PS4 and the Xbox One not being 1080p 60 frames per second at that time period of time, inexcusable, should have been, 100% should have been. And then they tried to course correct later with the One X and the PS4 Pro. That's just facts, right? If you go back and look at it. So I know I'm talking negative stuff, but there was a lot of great things about the Xbox One back then. They just had poor messaging at launch. That's really all it came down to, you know?
Yeah, the messaging was all over the place. Everybody had a different answer.
Well, remember, everybody was, gamers were like, oh, we want a video game console. Microsoft turned around and said, here's an all-in-one entertainment solution. They were so separated from the actual thing, from consumer demand. And I think Xbox One's launch demonstrates how dangerous it is when you have engineers and corporate strategy mongers and the marketing team are ahead of what the consumer wants, actually. Kinect wasn't a bad technology thing. I loved it. And had Microsoft come out there and acknowledged, we're going to put in the Kinect, but we're still going to be a $399, I think the conversation's it.
Yeah, it's completely different. Because at that point, if it was $399, and connect. Like, because I, if you can go back in the archives of Gamertag Radio, I was saying it back then. I'm like, you just got to take the hit. If you want Kinect to be a part of this so that developers can count that everyone that has an Xbox One has Kinect, you can't charge us $100 premium for it. And that's ultimately what it became, which again is why when Phil took over, he immediately took it out, you know, because it was hurting the business. And, you know, obviously for other various things, but Kinect could have worked, but it had to be a guarantee that every gamer had Kinect that had an Xbox. But you can't at the same time, especially in 2013, charge people $500 for an Xbox One. PlayStation saw that, was like, oh, really? Well, guess what? We just won $399. Here's how you share a game. Done.
Yep.
And that was it. It was a freaking wrap.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Kinect. Like, there was a couple games that I played. I mean, Dance Central was pretty dope. Like, there was a couple that was actually really cool. Even Mass Effect, they added the voice commands in there too.
Yeah, to like reload. Reload.
Worked out. Yeah.
Reloading your gun was, again, we could probably sit here and talk about all the cool stuff that Kinect did. I love the fact I could walk in Xbox on, boop, it turned on, grab my controller, start playing instantly. It was amazing. I loved it. I think the one thing that I'll say the most about the overlooked achievement was how good Microsoft was at preserving your library. And you, Danny, I know I give you your flowers all the time about this, but their backwards compatibility program wasn't just a good feature, right? It was telling them rather than telling people like Nintendo, hello, buy the new console and start over from scratch.
Wait, why Paris looks like this? What's going on?
Why is Danny getting flowers for this?
Because I always play old games. You don't.
It's because Danny's always talking about backwards compatibility and saving the library, preserving the game's history.
Sorry.
And I don't?
Yeah. I like playing my old games. I still do that. And I'm excited now that they're going to start adding those games for PC. The 360 games and the old Xbox games. That's going to be dope. I can't wait for that. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, please.
Wow.
You bring up something else I don't want to talk about.
I'm excited for Wolverine, but we can wrap it up.
I'm excited for it. Good for you.
I'm very excited. People should be mad about other.
He's purposely. Yeah. For the record, I am also excited for Wolverine, and I have not played it, so I will withhold judgment until I do play it. I mean, I think that's just a simple thing to go, you know, wait till you play it yourself, because since we're talking about it, if you go look at previews for people who have played it, I think the number one complaint is, are we getting close to the end of this gameplay type, right? The Spider-Man gameplay loop. And that seems to be the concern. Like, people that played it enjoyed what they played, but are we kind of getting to the end of that? Like, Wolverine might be the last one, and we got to do something different, kind of thing. But we'll see. Like I said, I'll wait till I play it to judge it for myself.
Is it Wolverine the last one? I don't think so.
Well, it's not. They're clearly going to do a Spider-Man 3 and all that. I'd be shocked if they don't. But I guess it's just that gameplay loop. Do we have to start doing something different with that, with the superhero genre?
Yeah, I mean, let's say Insomniac decided, like, hey, let's do the first person. It's not going to feel good. Like, it's not going to be a Wolverine game by doing it like that, you know? So I think the way how they have it, I think it's fine with me, you know? But again, vote with your wallet. You don't have to buy it if you don't like it.
Why do you always say this again? Edit it. Why are you always a dick when you say it though? You're just a dick.
Because I'm so, you know what it is? I'm so sick of people complaining about the dumbest things, you know? Like, it's like, really, don't buy the game. That's it. Like, yo, there's people that are really excited. Don't attack people that are excited about the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's a lot of people that worked on this project, man, that they're proud of it. Like,
of course. Know? Of course.
You have a choice. That's all. And that's why I'm being a dick about it. Because it's like, really, you're going to get mad about the smallest things, man. There's so many bigger things out there. Look, there's so many games coming September, by the way. So many. You have options to decide what to buy, not to buy. That, to me, is going to be one of the games I want to, one of my top three I want to play for 100%, the month of September.
100%.
It's going to be pretty dope.
I mean, you know, I guess we could wrap it up on this. It's like, when I think about September, the biggest complaint that I have is not having enough time. Because there's so many games just in September that I want to play. And then, God forbid, we go in October, November. It's just, it's about to be crazy, bro. It's like us going to Gamescom, very excited to go, don't get me wrong. And, you know, the gamer in me is like, damn, I'm missing out on a week that I could be playing something because we're going to be there. I feel like I'm going to be behind as a result, weirdly enough. But yeah, there's just so many good games that are coming out, you know, over these next few weeks that it's like, why are we not talking about that and being excited about that? Since you pulled me in, Danny, I might as well just say it instead of bitching and complaining about something you haven't even played. I think it's ridiculous. That's just me. Yeah. But what do I know?
Yeah. It's going to be dope. Yeah, John Wick, you mentioned about Zero Company, Star Wars Zero Company. I played it. I think it's dope. That's a really dope game. I slept on it, and I got the opportunity to play it. It's actually pretty good. Really, really good. All right, we're going to wrap it up here, and stay tuned for the after show where we talk about random stuff. But thanks, everyone, for listening and watching GTR. And also remember, next week, no live show because of Gamescom, but there's a lot of content that's coming out during the week of Gamescom, so stay tuned. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
The best trips don't just take you somewhere new. They change the way you see the world. On Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel, uncover the delights of every destination across city hideaways and crystal blue shores. Sponsored by Season 2 launch partner, Fiji Airways.
When it comes to a stopover, people don't recognize the value until they actually do it. So I wanted to see how stopping off in Fiji and doing my buffer there instead of going straight back to Sydney, how that shifted me into the mentality and got me ready for going back to real life. And, you know, the best cure for anxiety is feeling nurtured and calm and taken care of. And I think Fijian hospitality lends into that quite well. Fiji kind of wraps around you in a way that's warmer than everywhere else. I think it's because the culture grew up centered by community.
Listen to brand new episodes of Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Amy Brown from Feeling Things with Amy and Kat. Back to school season always feels like a fresh start, not just for kids, but for all of us. It's a great reminder to create new routines and find meaningful ways to connect with our family, friends, and community. Hasbro games make it easy to gather around the table. Put the screens away, share some laughs, and create joyful memories together. Whether it's Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or another family favorite, there's something for everyone. You can find these and other Hasbro favorites at your local Walmart, walmart.com, or simply tap the link in today's show notes to bring more play into your week.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.